I love coming with that little class.
You never know what to expect.
We flipped our wigs.
I think I'm going to edit that portion to this file. Sure. And people's going to wonder, what is he talking about?
Well, they need to show up and then they'll find out what you're
talking about. Some of us have been involved with the construction business, and not me. John would know, Jeff would know, and of course, Spoonman would know. But still, we know the importance of a foundation. I've had a chance to visit New Orleans. That, I tell you, that city is quite amusing. I didn't say amazing, amusing and scary. And I learned that while I was there for a few days, the water table underneath of the city is so close to the surface, you have to dig only 6 feet, and the water started coming out. That's why that city does not have an underground grave. Everything is above ground. That some of you guys have seen the picture of the gravesite. They all have this gigantic stone, like a little building, literally. They cannot put the coffin underground because as soon as you dig, water comes up. And another thing I learned is while we are touring around the city, they said they have a lot of high-rise building. However, the building code in the New Orleans, you have to dig the ground to have any high-rise building more than two-story or three-story. You have to dig three-story deep and put all of that with filled with the concrete. Then you can start to build the basement and then above-ground building. Why? Because they know it can shift around. Another thing about the foundation, Japan is well known for what? Earthquake. So because of that, their foundation is much different than our foundation. Their foundation is a concrete, and there is a metal spring, steel springs, real thick springs all around, underneath and the side. So when it starts to shake, the building stays. So we all know that about the foundation is the most important thing. That's why Jesus said the foundation talks about the rock. And he will build a church on this rock. And that is rock himself, and that he's a non-movable foundation. So without good foundation, everything up above can be shaken. And remember what I just said, and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are about to go over this Christian foundation again. We never can have a foundation study enough because it's so important. We have to understand your word, your way, no other way, nobody else's way. Teach us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing the foundation of Christianity is the most important lesson we can ever have. And turn to stick your finger in Jude, and let's go to Hosea. I'll give you about 15 minutes to find Hosea in the New Old Testament.
Give you forever to find it.
Yeah. Always a smart aleck. It's right after Daniel, right before Amos. In my page is
790.
Is that right? 790?
Page 1449. So what chapter are we?
Chapter 4. 1450 in my Bible. Mm-hmm. That helps, right? Okay. Did you find the bunny?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there?
Page 1450, sweet.
Yeah.
You got the same link up.
I know. That's what you said.
That helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Okay, I got it.
Okay, 1450 in chapter 4, verse 6. This is God speaking. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's not just Old Testament people. This is us too. This is not just the Israeli people, but also we are. Do you know, let's be honest, okay? Let's say that here's a brand non-believer. Hey, ever look at me, please. Here's a non-believer. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have 11. And there's a 11 non-believers. And we take one-on-one and give a gospel of Jesus Christ in 5 minutes. You only have a 5 minute. Let's say we are all in the airplane. It's heading down from 30,000 feet. We have 2 minutes to speak about Jesus Christ. Can you do it? In 2 minutes, give a presentation of Jesus Christ. If you're not, we are not ready. That's what we're going to study down the road. Can you give a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in 2 minutes, sums up? Not just today, we're going to go visit that, and how we're going to do that in 2 minutes. By the way, just for the preview, you can use 5 verses, and that's less than 2 minutes. You can just put them all back together, back to back, and that's about 2 minutes. Some of you guys known as a woman's road, but I revised it a little bit. I thought mine was better. I don't know why. Anyway, so a Roman road, pretty much the same as a Roman's road. So that's something we need to talk about. We, majority Christians, are lacking knowledge about basic foundation of Christianity. Many Mormons were former Southern Baptists. No offense to any denomination. Why? Because Southern Baptist is what? Biggest denomination in America. So naturally, there are more people filter through that. And also, there are a lot of people who do not know anything about the basic of Christianity. Like I asked you, and I don't know, you guys are trying to be humble or what, nobody raised hand. Yeah, can you give a 2 minute presentation? A lot of people don't know how to do it. There is a steward, since he was a man, from United Airlines, one of the airlines, went at the 9/11, hit the South Tower. He was a former cop. He retired from his police officer position, and he got a job as a steward in United Airlines. He said, I don't know why, but I need to get this job, he said to his wife. And he said, what if plane goes down, I might have 40 seconds to explain about Jesus. And wouldn't you know? Probably he did. His plane went down. He had 40 seconds. For any kind of situation, and best if you can carry the track in your purse or in your wallet. That way, if you cannot talk to them, read this and walk away. But don't do that unless you don't have any other choice. You have to leave and read this. A lot of people get saved by the track. That's why it's very important. The reason why a lot of Southern Baptists end up in the Mormon doctrine is because they didn't have a good foundation. Let's go to Jude, verse 3. Guess what? I think some of the guys knew that I'm going to give a homework. They didn't come. Since you guys here, I'm going to give you homework. All right, Jude 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend honestly for the faith. Underline, contend earnestly for the faith. That is the whole thing. That is the theme of the whole book, contending for the faith, which was once all delivered to the saints. We cannot make ourselves to be saved. You hear me? We cannot make ourselves to be saved, but we can certainly make ourselves be safe by following the Word of God. See the difference? We cannot be saved with our own strength, but we can be safe by following the Word of God. That means we can be protected from any outside or inside attack by you following the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to look, let's go back there, the contend, C-O-N-T-E-N-D, that word is rather unique. Try to pronounce that.
You wrote it.
Epagonizomai. Yeah. Epagonizomai. A fancy word. It sounds like a Greek, isn't it? It is Greek. It means, I'm going to just read it to you, struggle for or contend for or exercise great effort and exertion for something. The meaning of this word is athletic contest and the struggle and the effort of the athletic in the game. Let's think about this. You know, we have seen the mural of the Greek wrestler. Now, I'm not talking about wrestling nowadays, the one banging each other's heads with the chairs and dropping on each other on the table. That's not what I'm talking about. The real Greek wrestling that nothing is forbidden except the gouging eyes out. I don't know why, but you can kill each other. That's fun part. Now, this wrestling, they do anything. They will do anything for the wreath they're going to receive, and of course, tax exemption for the rest of their life. That's a good thing. And also, they don't have to go into the military. Let's think about this place where two wrestlers, muscle-bound wrestlers, and fighting against each other, and that's the word contending, and muscles bulging out, and the vein is about to bust them, because they're straining so much, and that's the word that the Jude is using, contending. They're really struggling. Also, this word, if we eliminate this portion, agonizomai, we get the word what? Agonizing. What are we agonizing for? Agonizing is not exactly something easy thing. It's a struggling thing, right? So agonizing for the victory. What's that got to do with it? We need to stay hard at our own faith. I look at the faith in three different categories. There's a 3 points in the faith. Number one is common faith, that is salvation, is available to every one of them. So that's number one point. Faith, number one point of faith is salvation for everyone. Don't let anyone tell you that there's selected people, like Jehovah's Witness says 144,000 people. They are selected people. They are not you. They are not me. And they're already designated people. Uh-uh. This salvation is available to anyone. Good example, John 3:16. God so loved the world. That means everyone in the world. From the day one, Adam, to the last person in the world. That's the first salvation, that's the first point of faith. Number two is, this is very important, we have to understand, the word, of, we believe, that we have a faith in the word, which is final authority. We cannot negotiate with the word, we cannot extract the word out of the, from this Bible, we cannot add into the, this Bible. As a matter of fact, in the Revelation, end of the 22nd chapter, it said, let them be eternally cursed if you try to add or subtract. Bless you. So we have got to have a faith in the word that is a final authority. And number three point is the faith, is that we have a faith in what the Bible says about God, about your Trinity, and about how the humans created, so on. Everything what God says is final. What's the difference between second and third? It's the content. The third one is content. And second one is word is the final authority itself. Non-negotiable. So when we have the basics, we can go from there. I like to call this nine basic principles as basic principles. Nine things that I'm going to talk about is nine basic principles of the Christian foundation. First one is accuracy and trustworthiness of the scripture. Number one, accuracy. Infallibility. Trustworthy. Trustworthiness of Scripture, or we call it infallibility. Or inerrancy. Same thing. I told you that I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to give you these titles, reference, and then I'm going to ask you to bring the reference Bible verses. For example, accuracy and trustworthiness of Scripture and inerrancy, infallibility, which is the same thing, I would say that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, yes. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And also Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite verses that I quote often, the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword, blah, 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 all of that stuff, is Hebrews 4:12. So, accuracy and trustworthiness of the Scripture, inerrancy or the infallibility. Second basic principle is the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Now, find the Bible reference for me. Okay? You got to study for this one. Talking about Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord, not just any Lord that they claim each other's. This is Christ, Messiah. If you have a concordance or the treasury of scripture knowledge, you can look for it. Or if you want to cheat, go to the Bible dictionary, look for Christ. And it will list the several Bible dictionary, then it will list the several verses. All right. Third one is very good. Virgin birth of Jesus. Huh? What?
One God and three persons.
Yeah, Trinity. and add the Trinity here. Very good. And also you can find it in Revelation too. All right. Absolute deity of Jesus Christ and the Trinity. I need the reference for both. And the third one is virgin birth of Jesus. And fourth one is the history of creation of mankind. Mankind. Okay, so you have to dig around a little bit and how it's been created and on which day. Okay? By the way, if you look at the Genesis in chronological order, you will be confused. Just because chapter 3 is in after chapter 2, that doesn't mean chapter 2 verse 12 is behind 11, that doesn't mean it's necessarily behind. You have to think through. You might want to draw the diagram. Okay. Remember, God finished creating everything by sixth day. He didn't create anything more after that. A lot of people get confused. Where is the woman coming from? You homework. You do the homework. Fifth. Total depravity of man without Jesus. Total depravity. Total depravity. Huh? Yeah. Total depravity of man without Jesus. Everybody wrote this thing now? Can I erase the top portion? Okay.
No,
yeah, right.
I thought I'd just be a play a spoon on that one. He was thinking.
All right. Number six. Substitutionary death of Jesus, or we call to be fancy, atoning sacrifice. For our sin. So atoning sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. Okay? By the way, I did all of the study to become affiliated with the Calvary Chapel. I have a 13-page essay, so if you want to look at it, that's fine. Yeah, cliff note. Put it on eBay. There we go.
I just made copies.
All right. Number seven is a bodily resurrection. Bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll just write the JC. Number eight. The eternal, the literal return of Jesus. Now, this literal return of Jesus, I want you to, I'm pushing it. I want to separate between the rapture and the second coming. Because a lot of people get confused that rapture and the second coming is the same thing. They are not. Completely different. There's 7 years difference. All right. The resurrection for everyone, for the believer. Resurrection of? Huh? I'm sorry?
The resurrection of all, someplace.
Yeah. Resurrection of the believers. Okay? This is, I think, this for those who went through the First Corinthians study, we dealt with this extensively in chapter 15. We spent 5 weeks on that, the resurrection. Okay? Could I give you the Bible references? Yeah, I could. Why am I asking you to do this? To make your life miserable? No. Once you do it, it's yours.
Because you're a hard taskmaster.
That's right. All right. Let's go back to the verse of 4. Verse 4. For certain men have...
That out of verse 3, I can't wait till verse 4.
Huh? All right, verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago was marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly man, who turned the grace of our God into the lewdness, and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you have a dictionary or the, again, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge and the Greek dictionary, this Lord our Jesus Christ, is not just any Lord. In Greek word, it's a kairos. That means God. So this is another quick reference of the deity of Jesus Christ. By the way, the difference between cult and Christianity separates the deity of Jesus Christ. All cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So who are these certain men? Now, verse 4 talks about. They are the one who we talked about the last study, apostate. Those who are the defector, they are the traitor of the Christianity. Did they not know the Christian foundation? They knew, but they choose to leave the Christianity and went on to the different, and to do what? They were defiant, and in their heart they walked away from the heart of the foundation. These people claim that the grace, because we receive the grace of God and we are separated from the sin. And that means our body is no longer bound by the sin. We can do whatever we want to do, yet we will be saved. As I told you before, that's the agnostic people's concept and the Herodotic people's concept. We can do whatever we want. If you think that concept is the first century concept, it's gone. No, you can don't think that way. Oh, what the heck! I'm going to be on record. United Methodist Church, some of the Episcopalians, they don't think it's a problem. They accept homosexual people as a pastoral staff, and they ordain gay and lesbians as pastors. If they want to compromise like that, what's the difference than this agnostic people apostate? They left the Word of God to do whatever they want to do. And I even have a problem in some of the Baptist church people. By the way, American Baptist is one of the most liberal Baptists you will ever find. I heard that the last time I heard it, 70-some percent of American Baptist pastors don't believe Jesus Christ is God. That's the end of the story, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, so they are the apostate, they are the defector, and they are the truth. their turncoat of Christianity. And these people are like leaky faucet. They, according to the portion, they can crept in unnoticed. Friend of ours had a problem with that leaky faucet. And leaky behind the wall, there was a leaky pipe and leaked all over. And eventually, they had to dig out, tear the whole thing apart to find the problem and to repair the problem. These apostates are like a term. From the outside, it looks fine. On second floor, laying down. Why? Because it eat up inside of structure. Lord willing, we will not have that kind of problem in Calvary Sorrento. Preferably over the body. We will not negotiate with kinds of false doctrine. That's why I emphasize you guys getting into the Word in your own so much. And that's why as you read the Bible, and which you guys all do, Sunday morning or Tuesday night, you guys have to compare what I say against the Word. Don't trust what I say. It's so important. These apostate people, they are lethal and they are poison in Christianity. They smell like a Christian, they look like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, they act Christian. But they are living in double life. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Romans is in New Testament, chapter 6, is 1889.
Romans 6:15.
We'll just read this portion. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slave obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to the righteousness. But God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of sinness. I speak in human tongue because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as a slave of cleanness and of lawlessness, leading to the more lawlessness, so now present your members as a slave of righteousness for the holiness. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What did you have then in the things of which you were now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from the sin, having become a slave of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end of the everlasting life. Here comes the first verse. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. False teachers view that this is apostate people, this defector of Christianity, think that grace is license to sin more. Is it? No, it's not. Because we are saved by the grace of God, we are set free from the grace, from the sin. Now we have a full Christ, and we choose to become His slave. Remember when we said James, it starts with James, and it goes next word, what? Bondservant of Jesus Christ. Bondservant, what was the bondservant? It's I choose to become a servant in what? Free will of my own. So, when I was set free, when you were set free from the bondage of Satan, we choose to become, we remain no slave. But then again, that's a very dangerous position. So we choose to become God's slave with a free will and to serve Him for eternal life, and He will in turn to take care of us. You know the relationship for bond servant and master? Now, the second thing about this apostate is they to deny that Jesus Christ, sovereign God, and our Lord. They try to deny Him as a God. As I said before, it's the common denominator of all the cult. Mormons, what do they think of Jesus Christ? Right of Satan. And so Jehovah's Witness, he is the brother of Lucifer. Who is a Lucifer? Formerly known as Satan. So they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, they even said that Father God came down to earth. This is Mormon's doctrine. He had a sex with Virgin Mary. The Mormons people were highly related with the Hollywood because they put everything into the sex. By the way, if you're a Mormon, pregnant with eternal life, that's the whole concept of it. Anyway, so they try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. There was a book called The Heavy Heart, Robert Beller. I don't know who that is. He was interviewing the young nurse, and I'll just read it to you. Her name is Sheila Lawson, who they described as a representing American experience and view on religion. Speaking about her own and how it operates in life, she says, I believe in God. Okay. That qualifies that they are Christian, right? Uh-huh. I am not a religious fanatic. That's us. I cannot remember the last time I went to a church. My faith carried me a long way. What faith? It is Shuarism, my own little voice. Her little voice is nothing more than a whisper to our ears. She said she believed in God, so it's devil. Devil, sure, in the name of Jesus. Human, don't even have a full idea what the name meaning is. And they profane that name. This is the ultimate form of pride, and God hates pride. So I have a tendency to ask people when somebody said, like, I believe in God. And I asked them, I start with, are you born again? And he said, no, but I believe in God. And then follow up with, you're not a Christian. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. And they get offended, really get ticked. And then I explain, if you're not born again, according to God, you are not a Christian, you cannot go to the kingdom of God. There is no other way to coin. There is no other way to make it diplomatic. Sometimes you have to make a swift conversation. But do it in love, please. Just because non-believers are lost, that doesn't mean they are stupid. They spot our whole self-righteousness, self-holiness. But if we sincerely care enough to tell them about the truth, they'll go for it. They'll listen. All right, let's make a couple of applications. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word to explain the basic principles of Christianity. That's why we went through these new things. Okay, we need to be rooted in the Word. There's no other way. We all eat food every day. Right? Some of us more than three times. Some of us eat one time. Like a Pam eats like a bird and she doesn't eat even one time. I don't know if she survived. So if we take care of our body with the physical nutrition, when we take care of our spiritual body, with the spiritual nutrition, we should. It's a daily devotion, daily prayer, daily communion with God. Now, when we encounter non-believers, let's treat them with respect and love and to explain them of the basic principle, respect and love. As I said before, just because they are lost, that doesn't mean they're stupid. I gave you homework. No one is exception. That means you cannot skip teach the next class. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Bunny.
Oh, yeah. You won't be here next week.
Yeah, gone for 1 week. I'll be at the pastor's conference. Yeah, 2 weeks with them. Guess what? Guess what? I remember. Trust me, I remember.
What was the, I had the first application. What was the second application you did?
Treat the non-believers with the